We bring this session to order.
Thank you, Mr. President. This begins council, mock council number, session number, boy, I'm all tongue-tied. Mock council session number 5. Good morning, council. You'll be hearing soon from Robert Schoonover. He is the EMS manager of logistics. He'll bring to you a proposal for anti-idle and electric climate control systems for the medic fleet. Before we get to that, though, if you'll please state your name and which school you're representing and the part you're playing, starting on my left.
I am Jennifer Gutierrez from Seaford High School, and I am the county attorney.
Okay. I'm Riley Taylor. I'm from Lake Forest, and I'm representing District Number 5.
I'm David Clegg from Seaford High School, and I'm representing District Number 2.
I'm Carson Watts from Sussex Technical High School, and I'm representing District Number 1.
I am Noah Gardner-Bowler. I'm representing Innovative Learning, and I'm representing District Number 3.
I'm Jessica Galvez from Seaford High School, and I'm representing District Number 4.
I am Nihalis Gonzalez from Sussex Technical High School, and I'm the Finance Director.
I am Marley Fisherman from Seaford High School, and I'm the Clerk of Council.
Okay. Welcome. Good morning. Thank you all. And without further ado, here's Mr. Schoonover.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bobby Schoonover. I'm the Emergency Medical Services Manager of EMS Logistics, and part of that is maintaining the fleet. So I'm here today to talk to you about anti-idle and electric climate control systems for our medic units. If I could direct your attention to the screen. So our accreditation process identified that we had a potential issue of the maintenance of our medication temperatures. And the accreditation process is an external agency actually looking at us and looking at our program and basing what we do based on what other EMS systems do and providing the baseline for us. So what they identified was is the medications that we carry like 22 different medications to give the people. They have a manufacturer's recommended temperature storage range of about 65 to 78 degrees. That's what we have to maintain it in that vehicle. And sometimes we do a good job doing it, and other times we don't. And what they required us to do is actually put a high-low thermometer in the truck with the medications and record our temperatures daily, and we've been doing that. So we identified a problem, and we can maintain the temperatures as long as the vehicle is always running. So the engine's always running, the air conditioning, the heat's running. Or we're back at the station and we're inside a garage that has heat and air conditioning. So we do a good job there. So to do an upfit, our recommended cost, or the estimated cost for each truck to do an upfit to put these systems on, and I'm going to explain to you, is $10,000 per truck. And our request at the end is to complete this on 19 of our current fleet. And make it a standard going forward with new vehicles. So the first part, the first equation of this is electric HVAC system. So currently the truck, when it's turned off, it does not have a method to be able to cool the interior of the truck to keep the medication temperatures within the range. So we partnered up with a company called Bergstrom, and they're the largest manufacturer of the tractor trailer sleeper air conditioned units, and they do no idle or no engine running systems, and we teamed up with them to do a prototype for us. And so it's designed to maintain this temperature within that range while it's out in the field with the lights on during the emergency work, and also when they go now. One of the things that we see is when they go to a restaurant to get their meals, they have to leave the truck running. So we often get from the public, you know, why is your truck running? Well, we say we have to maintain our interior temperature to maintain the medications. So this system is integrated into the vehicle. It uses the systems that are on the truck to maintain it. And one of the concerns with us being in the suburban with the stuff that we carry is we can't add a lot of weight to it because we would be overweight. So this has a small footprint in the vehicle. And it uses the fans in the dash, just like you do when you drive your car to move the air throughout the vehicle to cool it. And we're doing a prototype. We're on a trial. So ours is the first one in the country right now. We're doing a 3-week trial. We're in the third week of it in this type of SUV vehicle. So the second part that goes along with this is what they call an anti-idle system. because we're actually using, we're using the vehicle's batteries to power this system to turn it off. So what happens with this system is after one minute when you put the vehicle in park, if it senses the temperature is in the right range with inside the vehicle and the voltage of the batteries are okay, and we're using deep cycle batteries, it then shuts the truck off. And it doesn't matter if they're it doesn't matter if they're on a scene and the emergency lights are on, or if they're at the restaurant getting lunch. It shuts it off. When the medic exits the vehicle and goes and treats the patient and come back, as soon as they open the door, the vehicle starts back up, so they're ready to put it in drive and go on the next call. And then it's collecting the data, because data is important to us that we're collecting to see, you know, how much is it going into the anti-idle, you know, whatever cost savings. So it uploads daily to a portal, and then we can access the information. So the industry standards, and this is from Ford Motor Company, and they're big into the electric vehicles. So they studied, you know, how much, you know, how much does 1 hour of no idle equal? So 1 hour of idle time of our Suburban is equal to 33 miles driven. You think about it, in 1 hour you can certainly drive 33 miles. So it kind of makes sense. And for my green team here, the 1 hour of idle also equals 13 pounds of CO emissions reduced. So we're reducing the CO emissions into the environment by turning this truck off and running off battery power. So our three-week trial that we're into now is showing about 2 hours per day that we're able to cut this truck off during its normal operations and maintain the temperatures and maintain the voltage. And a Suburban, our Suburban fleet, according to the EPA, when it's idling, it uses 1 gallon of fuel. So every time we shut it off, we're saving 1 gallon of fuel. So when you look at the payback of the systems, that set of medications that we have on that truck, so we have two sets of gear on there, two paramedics. It's about $475. This is the actual cost of the medications, the raw cost. If we get out of the temperature extremes, we have to replace that whole set of medications. And you could do it on a daily basis. So it's really important that we maintain within the recommended manufacturer guidelines. So, and then if we get out of range and we don't replace it, you know, what's our litigation exposure if we were called into a court of law and say, you know, we treated this patient and they didn't have a good outcome, and can you prove were you maintaining the medications within the range? So we are able to do that now. So when you look at this, 1 hour of idle equals 1 gallon of gas. So if we do that 2 hours a day, 365 days a year, so we're going to save around $1,679 just in the fuel cost per vehicle. So that equals about a 5-year payback of the $10,000 just on fuel. The other part of it is when we're shutting that engine off, we're now extending the life of that engine. You know, we're not extending the life of the tires or the brakes, we're extending the life of the engine because it's now turned off. So they call that ghost miles. So we're saving somewhere around 48,000 extra miles a year that they call ghost miles. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to get 48,000 more miles every year to that vehicle at the end of its life. We're just saving on the engine only. But maybe the biggest and another big thing for my green team here is the reduction of the CO emissions. So if we're doing, we're seeing almost 19,000 pounds of CO2 emissions that will be reduced by turning this engine off, this vehicle off, and that's per vehicle. And this is a picture over here where we had a surge of calls in the Millville area, and we had 5 medic units there, and they're all 5 of those are sitting there idling. The medic is gone with the ambulance transporting the patient to the hospital. That's last year. This year they would be sitting there going into the, turning the engine off, going into the no idle. Do I have any questions? I have a motion. Mr. President, would you like me to read the motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I said, be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves retrofit of 19 EMS Suburbans with anti-idle and electric HVAC systems not to exceed $10,000 per vehicle.
So that's the motion. Is there someone who will make that motion?
I motion.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We'll give it to this lady. So we have a motion and a second before you, Mr. President. Now you would ask for your colleagues if they have any further questions, they want to discuss anything amongst themselves, or with Mr. Schoonover, now would be the time to do that.
Do you have any questions?
I do.
Okay.
So out of those 19 suburbans, how many of them do you actually use like each day?
All 19 plus a couple more that we have one now on the trial, so we don't have to do that. And then we have a couple older trucks. We can only do about from a 2014 newer. We can only do them when they have the electric fan on the radiator. So we have a couple older ones that we can't do. So basically we're doing the entire fleet, and then the intent is with new ones, and I built about 4 a year to make to do it in the initial upfit. So everything primary.
I also have a question.
Sure.
Can the EMS department do any fundraising to try and lower the costs on the county? To try and raise funds for the $10,000 needed per vehicle?
We have a paramedic association that can do fundraising, but the other thing that we are pursuing is some grant funding through what they call Green or Lead Cities, I think it's called. There's some funding out there to reduce greenhouse emissions, and we're going to take a look at that and see if we can bring the cost down by applying for the grant.
Unlike what you might experience or know through, say, the volunteer fire service, the EMS department is a government agency. It's county funded, so it will get its funding either through county or state tax dollars or even some federal pass-through, or as Mr. Schoonover has indicated, through the LEED certification. But a good question, but
right.
It's not really a mechanism to go out and fundraise on their behalf. Any other questions? Okay, Mr. President, now you would go ahead and call for the vote.
Move into voting.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you have a real world scenario, or is it still in development?
No, this is real world. This is in the budget this year, and we are, everything I told you is truthful. Is really real life. It's going on now, and we'll be presenting back to the county council in a couple weeks, probably the same presentation. I may tweak it up just a little bit. They're going to hear it again. The only thing is the finance director would not let me to fund it that way with a not to exceed. I would have to go through a bid process. So they're not going to do it that way.
Government regulations. Too much to worry about today.
Yeah, too much to worry about today. There's a process for it, but. So, thank you.
All right, thank you all, good job. All right, this ends mock session number 5, and we will reset for mock session number 6, which will also be our final session, so please stand by.